Well, greetings this morning in the precious name of our Lord. It has truly been a blessing to be here already this morning. Yeah, it's been a blessing to be here already and to hear the testimonies of you two sisters that have shared of what God has done in your hearts. It's amazing. From different parts of the world, even different parts of the country, we still have the God that draws people to Himself. Same God, and so yeah, it's a blessing. Why don't we stand and have a word of prayer? Father, we do truly thank you for the work that you've done in our hearts. Lord, we've all made a mess of our lives. We all need a Savior. Lord, we, even when we surrender our lives to you, we're still extremely needy and still need you. And so this morning we're just thankful that we have a Father like as you that truly does care for us, that wants what is best for us. Lord, we're thankful and blessed. We just exalt you and magnify you. Father, we pray this morning that as we gather here, that you would not pass us by, that you would, by your Spirit here, work in every heart and life. Lord, you know exactly what each one of us needs. Lord, we are dependent upon you. I want to be a vessel in your hand this morning that you can use. But Lord, unless you feed your people, this gathering is vain. And so we pray that you do this, Lord. Would you make your word alive? Would you have your way? We commit this service into your hand in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. And yeah, I was just blessed with the song service as well. It's a tremendous opportunity that we have to be able to worship, to be able to lift our voices and sing and exalt our Lord. And as I pondered what God would have me share, prayed, I thought I knew what it was going to be, but somehow sometimes He changes that. So this morning, or this past week, the word worship kept coming to my mind. And as you think of worship, the Bible is full of worship, of many different aspects and angles. And so now how do we find where God wants us to start? So we're trying to follow His leading here this morning. We also have similar words that are very similar, that overlap. You know, worship is also, praise is encompassed with that, glory, honor, thanksgiving. So there's a lot that is involved with worship. So I just desire this morning to try to stay simple and clear. And God is the only one that truly deserves our worship. He has created us that we would bring glory and honor to His name. So for beginning scripture, let's turn to John 4. And we'll start with verse 19 and go to verse 24. But before we do, this is the scripture where Jesus met the woman at the well. And His disciples had went off to get food. And he's having this conversation there with this lady. And different things that were happening there. He was asked her of a drink, and she said, "Well, how is it that you who are a Jew ask a drink of me that is a Samaritan?" And these two didn't have anything to do with each other. And Jesus said, well, if you knew who it was that would ask you of a drink, you would ask of me for a drink, was Jesus' words. And she says, well, what do you have to draw with? And Jesus told her that he has living water. And I think that the woman understood that, or was perceiving that there's something different about this man. And so she asked him a question, and we'll start in verse 19. She says, well, first of all, he told her to go get her husband. And she said she had none. And Jesus says, you said right, you've had five, and the one that you're living with now is not yours. And so the woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So this morning we want to take some of these thoughts that Jesus had given here, some of the direction that Jesus had given, and look at worship. Worship. So the question that the woman asked in verse 20, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. She asked this question. I don't know if this is something that has been on her mind for some time. Where's the best place to worship? But she was missing it. She was missing it. And Jesus tells her in verse 22, ye worship, you know not what. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. Not even realizing, now this lady has obviously been going through the action for, who knows, many years, but having no idea who she worshipped. So this morning we want to spend a little time drawing a few points from this passage here that we read. Before we do that, I'd like to look at the word worship in the Webster's, and then also in the Strong's. In Webster's it says to adore, to pay divine honor to reverence with supreme respect and veneration, to respect and honor with extravagant love and extreme submission. So, obviously, there's a lot that goes into worship. It's not just opening our mouth and singing, is it? Worship in the Strong's, it says to worship, to pay homage, to show reverence, and to kneel down. And these are the words, this is what it means in the Webster's and the Strong's. So, the first point we want to look at is, do we know what we worship? Taking the words that Jesus told the lady, ye know not what ye worship. So this morning, do we know what we worship? Or do we know who we worship? A question that I ask. Do we know what we worship? In Isaiah 48, I'm going to read verses 11 to the end, and giving us some direction to answer this question in our mind or in our hearts. In verse 11 of chapter 48 of Isaiah, it says, For mine own sake, even for my own sake, will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? And I will not give my glory unto another. Hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am he. I am the first and also the last. Mine hand also hath laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand hath spanned the heavens. When I called unto them, they stand up together. All ye assemble yourselves and hear, which among them hath declared these things. The Lord hath loved him. He will do his pleasure in Babylon, and his arm shall be on the Chaldeans. I have spoken, I have called him. I have brought him, and he shall make his way prosperous. Come ye near unto me, and hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning, from the time that it was, there am I. And now the Lord God, his Spirit, hath sent me. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened unto my commandments, then had my peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Thy seed also hath been as the sand, and the offspring of thy bowels like the gravel thereof. His name should not have been cut off, nor destroyed from before me. Go ye forth of Babylon, flee from the Chaldeans with the choice of singing, declare ye and tell this, utter it even unto the end of the earth. Say ye, the Lord hath redeemed his servant Jacob. And they thirsted not when he led them through the deserts, he caused the waters to flow out of the rock for them. He clave the rock also, and the waters gushed out. There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. And so this morning, I want to look at the first part of it, but also as we go through, as we read here, in verse 13, God shows how he is the creator of the world, and 14 to 16, how God loves his people, and also God has openly declared that who he is. And from 17 to 19, how God wants to bless his people. And in verse 20, I see that God wants us to be separate, the separation. In verse 21, I see his care. And then verse 22, that there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. And so I share all of that to come back to verse 11, where he says that I will not give my glory unto another. So we have an amazing God. He will not give his glory to another. And as we think of that, a divided heart cannot truly worship God. A heart that is divided of this world's cares, this world's whatever we're doing, it cannot truly worship God. A divided heart cannot worship God in spirit and in truth. And again, it's not by what comes out of my mouth, but what is my actions? What does my life portray? Do I truly worship God? God is not interested in fighting for being number one. You know, if our hearts are yearning, if our hearts are pulled somewhere else, and we walk somewhere else, God is not there to stop us per se. He does draw us to himself. He does not want us to go that way. But he is not interested in fighting for us to be number one in his life. He will not give his glory to another. Our hearts need to be totally surrendered. He has to be Lord of our lives. I'm going to say it this strong. If he's not Lord, we can't truly worship him in spirit and in truth. If he's not Lord of our lives, I don't believe there's a way to truly worship him in spirit and in truth. God is not in competition. I mean, yes, he wants every man to be saved everywhere. He wants every heart to come to him and truly worship him. But he does not, he's not there fighting for number one. If this is the way that you want to walk, he will let you go. But he does draw us, but he does not want anyone to be lost. God will not give his glory to another. If your heart likes the things of this world, you worship the things of this world. Worship is putting value on what you worship. We will never worship anything in spirit and in truth if it doesn't mean much to me. We just won't. God says he will not give his glory to another. In other words, is God pleased with our life? Is he pleased with your life? Why or why not is he pleased or not pleased? You know, the thing that is displeasing to God, if that is truly what it, if there's something that is displeasing to God that you know that is in your life, is probably the thing that you worship. Do we know what we worship? Do we know what we worship? It's the thing your time is going to. It's the thing that you talk about. It's the thing that you are valuing. Is it making sense? You know, worship. So this lady, this woman that came to Jesus told her that you don't know what you worship. What was she worshiping? She was worshiping something. He didn't say you're not worshiping. He just says you don't know what you're worshiping. What was she worshiping? She's worshiping something. We'll get into that maybe a little later. But think about it. The Samaritan woman, I think she probably prayed. In her mind, she prayed at the right place. But she said, but he said, you don't know what you're worshiping. Do you know what she valued? In my mind, it was probably an attractive lady, or at least she liked the attention that men gave to her. She was flirting with the sixth man for sure. I don't know, there might have been many others in between, but she was married at least five times, and the man that she was with was not her own husband. So this was at least the sixth man. Her heart was not being drawn to God. Her heart was being drawn to man. And that is what she worshipped. Jesus never told her, you're not worshiping. But he did say, you don't know what you are worshiping. You don't know what you are worshiping. Her heart was not drawn to God, but rather trying to do enough religious activity to be okay with man. That can strike pretty good, pretty close to home. Our hearts can be trying to do enough religious activity to be okay with man. Her heart wasn't in it. She liked the attention of men more than being obedient to God. Do we know what we worship? What do you value? The praise of men? Money? What are you thinking about through the song service this morning? Where was our mind as we were singing this morning? A little test. It might be what you are worshiping. Was your mind on the words that we were singing? Was your mind on God? Or where was our mind? On our work? Our money? Probably a good indication, the thing that is of value to me, the thing that I'm worshiping. What was it? I believe these things come a little closer home than we think. I ask again, do we know what we worship? I'd like to turn to Revelations 4. I'm going to read that chapter. Time is going to go faster than I am. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as if it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee the things which must be hereafter. And immediately I saw I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, and the sight like an emerald. And round about the throne there were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightning and thundering and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne, round about the throne, were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast was as a face of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, which is to come, which is and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they were created. So this morning, as we think of, as we look at this scene here, as we look at this scene here, this is a picture of pure worship. Pure worship. Nothing is distracting. Pure worship. It tries to describe the one on the throne. So I looked a bit. It says that he was like a jasper and a sardine stone. And as you look at these two kinds of stones, they are of many different colors, which describes the rainbow. And you look at them from every angle, and there is just, it's just fascinating. You could take this stone and roll it around and look at the crystals and the splendor of this stone and never really get done describing these stones. And this is how it's trying to describe who God is, the one on the throne. These stones are of all colors. They're flawless. And this is describing God. Amazing. They were beautiful. God is beautiful, loving, caring. Words won't never do justice. And this is worshiping. So then it talks about the 24 elders which sit there day and night. Then it talks about the 4 beasts around about the throne day and night. It says they rest not, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. An amazing scene here. And as these four elders fall on their, or the 4 beasts fall on their faces before God, the 4 elders, the 24 elders also fall on their faces, and they worship there day and night, never resting. Now the question I have, do we long to be in a place like that, or would that be embarrassing? Do we long to be in that scene, or is that embarrassing? How does it feel? Now, we'll never, ever deserve to be there. We'll never deserve to be there. But is it something that we would look forward to being there, or would it be embarrassing to us? I remember of a time when it was embarrassing to me. I don't know that I could have stood, I couldn't quite stand the thought of being there. But I long to be there today. And it's not because of how good I am. Or would we want, do we rather wonder, what about my fun or my friends? Maybe it's sports. Do you long for that day? Why do you long for that day? And if not, why not? Is your heart divided? Are you trying to divide God's glory? Do you know who you worship? Remember, God will not fight for first place. He won't give that. If we cannot give that to Him free willingly, He really doesn't want to be in the picture, because He does not, He will not share His glory with another. He just won't. So point two is, true worshipers worship in spirit. And this is by our mouth and thoughts and the meditations that we worship Him in this way. God wants us to worship Him with our mouth. Again, it means that we put value on Him. He is number two to nothing. This part of worship is called praise, adore, magnify, and glorify. It's our inner man that is connecting with God. It's our spirit connecting with the Spirit of God. It's worshiping Him. The only way that this can truly happen is if we get a glimpse of who I am, and if I get a glimpse of who He is. You know, if I am good enough, I will never be able to worship God. But I'm a fallen creature that is in need of a Savior. And in here, in my being, there is no good thing other than what God has worked in my heart. And if I know that, and I live in that reality, and I see that I have a good God, a wonderful Father, my heart will worship Him. My heart will worship Him. And He deserves that. He longs for that. He wants us to worship Him. It is accepting the salvation that is in Jesus Christ and see Him for who He is and we for who we are. There's no way to ever earn my salvation or good standing with God. Our hearts can turn and worship Him. He wants us to open our mouth and praise Him. And I thought of reading some Psalms here, but I'm going to leave that. Psalms have many. David starts out many times with worship, how great our God is. And then he shares about his troubles and how he needs salvation, how he needs God's help, and then worships Him again. There's just many Psalms that we could read, but I'm going to leave that. The Psalms are full of praises to God. 1 Peter 2 verse 9. You don't have to turn to all these scriptures if you don't want to. This is 1 Peter 2 verse 9. It says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light." And it's a little glimpse of what I just said. Needing to see how we were in darkness and how God has drawn us into His light. How this is the work of God. It will cause our hearts to worship. But more than that, if we are called out of darkness and into His marvelous light, like the testimonies we've heard this morning, if that is what we are, we are to do what? We are to show forth His praises. And that is not necessarily probably the same word as praising Him in most senses, but it's virtue. It's its goodness, its excellence, its quality, moral goodness. Actually, in the Strong's, it says, virtue is nothing but voluntary obedience to truth. That's what it said in the Strong's. Virtue is nothing but voluntary obedience to truth. And that is showing forth who God is. That is what God wants us to do to the world. Worshiping in spirit. Verbally praising God, not just on our knees in our closet, but to show forth His praises to the world. In other words, His virtues, His goodness, His moral goodness, His qualities. Showing the world. That means to open our mouth. It means to share what God is doing and has done in our lives. Singing about it, but also telling the world about it, is part of worshiping Him in spirit. Show forth, to publish, the showing forth is to publish or to celebrate. When you celebrate something, you do what? You sit in a corner and you don't say anything, right? Is that how we do it? Is that how we're showing forth the praises of God? Are we opening our mouth and sharing? It's part of worshiping Him in spirit. It's showing God. It's about sharing what God is to us, what He's done for us and in us. Celebrating. Are we doing this? We can sing about it, but in my spirit, is my spirit connecting with His spirit? Worshiping God doesn't just happen. It takes our energy. It will cost us time. And it will drain us. But God will fill us. Again and again. You will never outgive God. Sing forth the praises of God. Share with others what God is doing in your life. And with joy. Isn't our God amazing? If He's amazing, why not tell the world? Worshiping Him in spirit. God was disappointed in Israel. Will He be disappointed in us? Worship has everything to do with obedience. Point number three is worship Him in truth. This morning, the clothes that we wear, that we have on, does it truly show what is on the inside of us? Do the two go together? I mean, we like to be plain, we like to be simple, but is it truly showing, is there something hidden here? Our clothes should be a reflection of what is going on inside of us. Truth is without hypocrisy. Truthfulness. Now listen, in correspondence with reality. That is what truth means in the Strong's. In correspondence with reality. Does that describe your life? Does that explain who we are? You know, here are some things that we can get caught up in as we think of worshiping God in truth, in reality. Maybe I think more highly of myself than I should. Is there someone that I just look down on them? Anyone? I have a wrong view of myself. And if I'm looking down at men, other people, I'm sorry. I don't think I can worship God in truth. Is there unforgiveness in our heart? Someone you struggle to just forgive. If these things are in our heart, there's a pollution that is happening inside, and we will never worship God in truth. Bitterness. Is there anyone you wish ill will on? Is there someone you haven't released in your heart? Is there someone that when they are not in your life, life is just better? If someone comes to your mind as we think of these things, it probably means you need to repent, because these are signs of bitterness. And again, bitterness, you will never worship God in truth if there's bitterness in our heart. Do we know who we worship? Do we know what we worship? We can sing, we can share, we can look oh so good, but inside, we can be dying. And our worship is not in truth. We've went through, shared some messages on Christ being formed in us. And that is how we walk, that is how we worship in truth. If Christ is forming his life in us, no, we're not going to get it right all at one time. We're not. But as he continues to work in us, as we continue to grow, we can worship him in spirit and in truth. It's not something that we can manufacture, but flows from a heart that is set free. It has to do, it has everything to do with our value system. What do I value? I have to think of, you know, we say that sometimes critics can be our best, our critics can have a way of saying it just the way it is. What do I value? What would my critics say that I value? Again, truth is not having any hypocrisy. In other words, what God sees in me is what I should relate to you. Matthew 15. Verses 7 to 9. It says, "Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." May that not be the case here today with a single soul. May that not be the case with any of us. I mean, it is so easy to come here on a Sunday morning and just sing and enjoy good fellowship. But what is our heart yearning after truly? We want God. It's a tremendous tragedy that we see here. It looked like the scribes and the Pharisees were the ones that would have had it together. But Jesus knew the heart. At one place he said, it's full of dead man's bones. Think again of Revelation 4. Is that something that I want to be a part of, or would I feel out of place? In correspondence with reality is what truth is. God is seeking such to worship him. He's looking to and fro over the whole earth, looking for someone whose heart is turned toward him, to worship him. That's what God desires. And I trust that's our hearts this morning. But I think at times we need to be reminded again, or at least I do, of what is really going on in my heart. God is seeking such to worship him. Are our hearts free? Is there anything unholy in there? Jealousy. Jealousy is deadly. Can God use my brother and instead of me? Can God do that? Can he use my brother beyond me and I'm just fine with that? How is it? Is it okay if he gets promoted and I don't? You know, hearts that are hurting with these things, hurt other people. They cannot worship the Father in spirit and in truth. God has created us to worship Him, to show forth His praises to the world. Is that our heart? Is that happening in my life? What is the world seeing? Psalm 66, verse 18, it says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." You know, so this morning, if there's something in my life that I am hiding, something that I'm not open with, I can go and I can pray the beautiful prayers that with the brothers there in the back. I can sing all I want to, but what does it say? God doesn't hear it. What a waste of time if that's the case. Why go through the motions? God wants us to be open. He wants, if there's something on your heart that you really want, right here's where we need to start. If there's anything in my heart that I'm hiding, God will not hear me. Psalms 50, verse 23, it says, "Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God." And the word conversation there means life. Those who order their lives rightly are those that God will show forth his salvation. Isaiah 57, verse 15, I'm going to have to turn to a few of these. It says this, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." This is the heart that will truly worship God. A humble and a contrite and a broken heart. Someone that doesn't have it all put together. Someone who is needing of God. That is the one that God will show. Yeah, that's the one that can truly worship God. 2 Chronicles. Verse 9. Just picking out a few verses here and there. It says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those, in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars." He's talking about Israel not having done this and the things that followed their lives. But God's eyes are to and fro over the whole earth, looking for someone whose heart is right towards him, to worship him, to bring glory and honor and praise to him. That is the one that God is after, to find whose hearts are turned toward him. Out of a willing heart, a heart that isn't wishing to be somewhere else, a heart that is open and yearning towards God, a heart that wants to please him. So my heart this morning is that we would get a glimpse of God's heart and that our worship to him would be pleasing. Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4, 12 to 16. It says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing of the sunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him who we have to do." And I'll just quit there for the sake of time. But everything, God already knows everything. Everything is naked and open before God's eyes anyway. Why try to be a hypocrite about it? Why not just be truthful? Why not just live an open life? Why try to hide something that we cannot hide anyway? God wants us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. He wants our hearts to be turned towards Him. If our heart is truly to bring glory and honor to our God, our hearts have to be pure and holy. Do we know what we worship? We've all sinned. We've all fell short. But we have a high priest, if we'd have kept on reading, that understands us as well. I should have maybe just continued to read, because he tells us in the last part, verse 16, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in time of need." So no matter the trouble that we find ourselves in, no matter wherever we're at in life, He wants us to not crawl in a corner and go hide, but rather boldly come to the throne of grace and ask for mercy. That is what He wants from us. There's nothing that He cannot... He was tempted in all points like we were. You're not going to surprise God with what you're... You're not going to surprise Jesus Christ with the things that you're going through. There's nothing hid from Him. God seeketh such to worship Him. And again, our value system has to have the right value. I mean, we have to be valuing the right things. Then our worship can be pleasing to Him. We will never worship in truth if God is not Lord of our lives. Our lives have to be lived with purpose. A verse in 1 Peter 3, verse 12, it says this. It's kind of the same thing. "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." And I'm just here trying to encourage us to open up our hearts. There's nothing. Our heart is that we would worship God in truth. And in order to do it in truth, our lives have to be an open book before God and before His people. We cannot be hiding anything, or our worship is vain, useless to God. Where does this find us? Are we part of the righteous? Or are we of those that do evil, that haven't kept their hearts pure? But God's heart yearns for the righteous. Do we care when our prayers are hindered? I mean, do we pray and we want God to hear us, don't we? Well, here's the recipe: living a righteous life. Living a righteous life, He cannot do anything but bend down His ear and listen. Or He's not God at all. So God wants a righteous heart to cry out to Him. The eyes of God are over the righteous. Amazing, amazing. Does that bless your heart and soul? The righteous. Well, the righteous will worship God in truth and in spirit. The eyes of God are over the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers. Do we see the connection? Our spirit connecting with God's spirit. God doesn't want to be against us. He loves those who give back their lives to Him. Point number four. I'll get out of Psalm 96, and it is, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And then we want to try to tie things together here. And I'm going to read the whole psalm, and we'll go through it. We'll go through a little bit of it here. It says, "O sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is feared above all gods, and for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord glory, do His name, bring an offering, come into His courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar, the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful, and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord. For he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness, and the people with His truth. That's a beautiful, beautiful psalm here this morning. He starts out by asking us, or telling us, to rejoice, or to sing. Starts by singing, opening our mouth with worship, to bless the Lord, to praise Him in song. It says the Lord is great, and He deserves all the worship that men will ever be able to bring to Him. And again, if we think of Revelations 4, that holy scene, that worship, where pure worship was there, unhindered, an amazing scene. How does that make us feel? Is that something we want to be part of? Singing and praising and glorifying His the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in Peter, it tells us that the angels, those beings, I don't know if these 24 elders and these beasts are actually angels, but the angels are round about there at some place. They long to look into why we would turn, why God's heart is toward us. Isn't that something? Isn't that amazing that God's heart is toward us? It's something that the angels want to look into. Peter writes in one place, shouldn't we just be full of worship to our God in spirit and in truth? May we choose to worship Him above all other things. Then our worship is in beauty and of holiness. Holiness, a sacred place or thing, consecrated, dedicated, hallowed, holiness. Psalms 29 verse 2, it says, give unto the Lord the glory, do His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. You know, in this Psalm 96 here, it tells us about giving God, honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. No, that's not what I was going to. It says, give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. How do we give God strength? God has all power, right? But He's limited what He can do with you and I if our hearts are not turned open and worship Him in spirit and in truth. He cannot, we are in control of what God does to us, in a sense. I mean, God can wipe us off the face of the earth. God can do many things. But what God, when it comes to transformation, it has to do everything with me and my response to God. So, does God have all power in your life? Can He come and touch any area of your life? Or have you not given Him that strength? Are you withholding God from your life? And when we just give God everything, we can worship Him in the beauty of holiness. God seeks such to worship Him. This is where worshiping God in spirit and truth come together. I was going to look at some Psalms, but we didn't, and just how David, I mean, we did one here, but there's much in there about worship. I'd like to yet look at Matthew 6, the Lord's Prayer, as we know it, and just take some time and just make a few comments out of there. And there's a pattern that he has given unto us there that we can, if we follow it, we can worship God in spirit and in truth in the beauty of holiness. If we don't follow it, we know not what we worship. So I'm going to read it. Matthew 6, verse 9 to 13. It says, "After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory, forever. Amen." So it starts here by acknowledging God as our Father and the holy place where He dwells. He is God. But He wants to be more than just God. He wants to be our Father. He wants to be our Father. And to me, it brings a closer relationship. You know, when I think of God and I think of Father, one and the same, but if I call Him my Father, there's something about a relationship, something that happens to my soul when I call Him my Father. And He wants us to do that. He wants to be your daddy. He wants us to reach out and take His hand and let Him lead us. He wants to be our Father in heaven. A close relationship. Our Father wants to be our best friend. But more than that, He wants you to be His best friend. You know, He has already purposed to be your best friend. But if you don't want to be His best friend, He can't be your best friend. Are we His best friend? Consider worship. It goes on, "Hallowed be thy name," to make holy, to purify, to consecrate. There's none of us that can make God's name any holier than what He is. We cannot make God any holier than what He is at all. And Peter tells us to sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. There's something, God is as holy that He will ever be, but He's not as holy in here, hopefully, that He will ever be. I hope that He will continue to transform me, that He is more holy today than I've ever seen Him before. And that is what He's talking about, that we would worship, that we would hallow His name, that we would glorify Him, that we would make Him holy in our lives, separate. In other words, He's number one in our lives. Remember that God is not fighting for number one. If He's not willingly given the place of number one, He's not in the race. It's up to us to give Him that position to be number one. God is a holy God, and so His people will be a holy people. It goes on, "Thy kingdom come," to pray for the lost. We share with them the good news, as we've said, worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. Worship. Sharing the good news, praising Him. And then it goes on, "Thy will be done in earth as in heaven." How is God's will done in heaven? Perfect. Right. Without delay. And may that be the purpose of our life. To live a perfect life, to live a right life, and when there's something that He shows us in our hearts and lives, that we do it right away. That is how His will is done in heaven. And He wants it to be done on earth the same way. Verse 11, I see it as opening up to God with our needs. asking for our daily bread. There's things that we need. God knows what we need, but He wants to hear it from our mouth. Tell God. He wants to know. At least hear it from us. He already knows. Confessing our faults. If we don't forgive those that have wronged us, God cannot forgive us for wronging Him. Forgiving. If I cannot forgive my brother, I've already committed a wrong towards God. So if I cannot forgive, I cannot be forgiven. And that is something that relates directly with worship. If you don't want anything to hinder your worship, this is something that has to go. Forgiving. Asking God for help because we are weak and weaker than we think. And then this is the whole reason for that we even live. And this is for His kingdom and for His power and for His glory throughout all of eternity. And if there's any hidden motives in our lives, any other reason that we're doing it, our worship will be hindered. It has everything to do with value. God has to be number one. He has to be the most important thing that we've ever experienced and have in our lives. If He's not, we will never truly worship Him. And so one of the last things I have to say is, it has to be done in faith. You know, I can say these things, and you know, our hearts don't always feel like we're that connected. But if we're following the pattern that God has given us to follow, and we've done what God has given us to do, then we must believe by faith what God says He will do. And we can worship Him in spirit and in truth. We cannot always go by our feelings. It has to be done by faith. So again, I want to go over the points that we've went over. The first point was, do we know what we worship? Or we could put in there, do we know who we worship? Have our lives proven that we know? Point two, true worshipers worship in spirit. They open their mouth and praise God. They tell others, they meditate. Their spirit connects with God's spirit. Point three, worship in truth. In other words, our actions connect with what I say. Point four, worship God in the beauty of holiness. Now it's taking all the rest of the three points and bringing them all together as one, and it becomes a holy worship in the beauty of holiness. And this is pleasing to God. And this is what He wants from each one of our lives. And to do it with joy. God bless you.